Hi friends, before we get started, I want to provide a brief trigger warning. Sandra's story is incredibly inspiring. Whether you want to do a 5K every day or just make your bed every day, it's about her overcoming childhood trauma by doing something every day to make her feel great about herself. And because of that, and because of overcoming trauma, she does bring up some past stuff with her mental health struggles, including some suicidal ideology and talking about her struggles with her body. So I want to provide that trigger warning as well as a little bit of strong language, but not much, just an S word here or there. But if you are ready, here we go. Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hello, friends. If we hang out on Instagram over on Plus Mommy, then you know I've started a walking journey. And through this journey, I have had the great pleasure of connecting with some amazing humans, one of which I'm thrilled to introduce you to today. Her name is Sandra, a big fit mom of four runs. And I have absolutely had the greatest joy connecting with Sandra and following her on Instagram. So I was like, you should come on and share your story because she's doing something pretty fabulous and awe-inspiring. So welcome to the show, Sandra.
Oh my God, Jen, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm grateful that you have this platform and I am thrilled to share this with you today. So thank you so much.
Hey, I'm just excited that you wanted to come on board and you have the most just contagious energy. I adore that about you. And it's clear in just the short time that we were talking offline of what you see is what you get with Sandra. And I absolutely love that because I hope people feel the same way about me. So it's fun connecting.
You know, I honestly can't remember how did I get to your page? I don't know if it was through like Birds Papaya or something or one of the other influencers. But when I came to your page for the first time, I was just so in awe of what you do, of what you've accomplished. Honestly, the voice that you are. And I think I even sent you a message a long time, like not a long time ago, obviously, because it's only been a few months, but a message about how I wish when I had my pregnancies that there was somebody like you in my life, because those are such important stories and those are such important resources for women to have, to be acknowledged and to be able to resonate with. Like you are doing such important work. So honestly, I'm the one who's just in awe of you, and your stage and your platform is so important. So just keep doing what you're doing. It's changing women's lives.
Thank you. That means so much. I mean, when I started my blog on plus size pregnancy in 2011, I was a newly fresh mom, right? So that was my focus. And now that I'm a mother in her 40s with, you know, a child who's a tween, it changes, right? Your story changes, but the heart of my work, I think, will always be still advocating for people during pregnancy. And, you know, as a childbirth educator, I could talk about birth all the time. It's a joy of mine. But it's now shifted in beautiful ways as well, especially on Instagram, of me starting to be active. And so for me, finding people and accounts like yours, where it's just, you know, hey, I'm showing up every day as myself with, you know, showing off my sweaty clothes after a run and feeling great about it and just being authentic and talking about, you know, some of the unique obstacles when you, you know, are a little plus size, or, you know, you've talked great stuff about, you know, having to change out shoes and just all those little things that for me is so inspiring to keep getting out there to see someone else doing it. And one thing that you've done, which I'm totally in awe of, is you do a 5K a day. And you've done that since, what was it, the January
1st,
2019?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness. So I want to hear all about that, but I'd love to go to the actual start of your journey. What was the decision to start putting on your shoes and starting this journey?
Oof. Okay. So
let's do it.
No, it's like, how far back do you want to go? do you want to start from the womb? Oh my God. Because, you know, it's funny when you look at the context of any story, really, and please stop me at any moment if I'm going, you know, back too far or whatever. But, you know, so I was raised in a household where, unfortunately, the message that was passed on to my mother from her mother, who had 7 daughters and 1 son, was that women should look a certain way. Right. Yeah. And so here I am. My mom gives birth to this big, beautiful little baby girl, and I was just a big kid from the start. Yeah. You know, and then she has other sisters who have daughters, and all their daughters are thin. So my poor mother is like, well, what the am I allowed to swear on here? I'm not sure.
Go for it.
Okay, I won't swear. She's like, what's wrong with my daughter? Why, you know, isn't she able to be thin? Yeah. And so anyways, I was born in another country. I moved to Canada when I was 6. And so, you know, I'm growing up and I hit like 12 years old and my mom's like, oh, I have to take her to the adult section. And that's where we have to shop. And then I hit like 15 and she's like, okay, let's go to Jenny Craig. You might be able to, you know, like my whole life, my mom is telling me, stop eating that. You don't, why do you have to put that much on your plate? And she didn't know any better. Like she, and this is another thing that I've realized is our parents have been, the tools that they had to raise us were passed down to them from somebody else. And those tools were limited, right? And so then, I think, honestly, we're kind of like that first generation where we have unlimited access to all this information. And right? And it's unbelievable. So anyhow, so my poor mom, that's just the message that she had. And then, you know, fast forward to adulthood. And of course, I didn't even realize that I have anxiety, that I have depression, that I have. And then I had child number 1. And then I had my daughter. And I have to tell you that shit hit the fan when I had her. And I don't know if it was the different, like, you know, I don't know. Some people say this is true. Some people, you know, say it's not. I'm not sure. But when I had her, there was something different. There was something, I don't know if it was a hormone imbalance or like a, you know, a female versus female kind of going on inside. I don't know. But when she was born and like a couple months later, I was absolutely mental. I went a little bit crazy. And I don't know.
But that's okay. You know what postpartum depression and postpartum perinatal health is something that we talk a lot on the show and normalize. And there's such a stigma around that about like, oh, I went crazy. But no, your hormones were legitimately shifting in so many ways. And so many people have struggles with mental health after giving birth. But I feel like, you know, our kids are a little older and your kids are older. Like that wasn't normalized, you know, when your mom was giving birth to you or when you were giving birth to your children. So there's such a stigma around it. So yeah, it's, sounds like you did have, you know, some postpartum mental health struggles there, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
No, and you know, hindsight, you know, is 20/20, and looking back on that now, I know it's so normal, but at the time, you know, when she was a baby and she would wake up at night, I used to be thinking in my head, she's waking up to piss me off. Like that's how bad my anxiety was.
Yeah.
And it was, anyways, it was such a bad time. But so anyways, I had, you know, number three, and then number four. So we actually lived in Croatia for about 12 years, and I was pregnant with number four, and we flew back to Canada, me and my husband, who's actually Canadian, he's not Croatian. And we've been back since 2008. And I had the fourth one here back in Canada. And so we've been back for 12 years. And the postpartum after I had him was so bad that I was lucky enough to be here in, you know, near Vancouver. And the doctor here said, hey, there's a woman specialist, and she specializes in postpartum, and I'm going to send you to this group. And I said, okay. So,
good.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. She didn't whip out a pill and say, here, have some Wellbutrin XL or something. She spoke to me for several months, and then she finally diagnosed me. And I knew that I had anxiety, but she's like, you know, you have anxiety, you have depression, you have even some OCD anxiety, right? Like just the compulsive thoughts. And so, okay. Yeah. And so I, at that time, started taking Sertraline and took it for a while and then stopped taking it. And then this was kind of like the cycle in my life. Like, you know, I've always kind of exercised, and it was usually to try to lose weight.
Right.
And so how my journey began was, you know, and then from Vancouver, we moved up here to where we live now, which is about 4 hours north of Vancouver. And we've been here for 10 years. And so, you know, moved when my youngest was three to a brand new city, didn't know anybody. And then my husband had a job where he actually flew to another city, worked there for 2 weeks. And then, Jen.
Oh my gosh. With four children,
yes.
You being, oh wow. That's a lot. You poor thing.
You know, it's actually funny how the human body and how the human brain works. And I honestly can tell you that during the 10 years that he did this work assignment, and where he worked in another province. So it would be like, you know, your husband, if you live in Texas, flying to Arizona, or I don't know what the Nevada or something, right? And then being home for a week and then being gone for 2 weeks. So 10 years he did this. And honestly, for those 10 years, every time that he was gone for 2 weeks, I was in like this automatic autopilot. You just go. You don't think.
Yeah.
You just are in autopilot. You just have to do things. You don't think. And then when he'd come home for a week, that's when you shut down. It was kind of crazy, and it just kind of went on for 10 weeks and that's or 10 years and that's just how it happened. But for that time period that he was away, and I always kind of worked out in my basement. I would like put on YouTube videos or whatever, just things that like I liked sweating. And then fast forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a means to, it empowered me. But again, the thing that switched and the thing that changed, which is funny on this journey that I'm on now, is the difference was before it was to, you know, try to lose weight. But now that doesn't even occur in my head. That thought doesn't even occur in my head. So 2018, in my basement, I had a treadmill, not always, but I got one in 2017. It was just a used treadmill. And I thought, okay, I'll just use this to, you know, warm up and then I'll go to my weights. And then I just kept running on this treadmill. Like it started with a walk for probably a few months. And then I sped up the thing to make it walk faster. And then like a couple months later, it was like this jog, mind you, I felt like I was running super fast, but it was a jog nonetheless, because I would film.
Hey,
myself.
It's impressive. I'm impressed. So just go with it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go with it. So 2018 rolls around and I turned 43 and I went outside one day and I was in this, on these trails near my house, and I started running, Jen. I was like, what the frog is going on? what is going on? And I kid you not, I felt And I can't describe this. I mean, I don't know if how I describe this will come through, but I felt that day, and I'll never forget that day, that this layer, and I'm getting goosebumps now, but this layer was shed from me. This layer of doubt was shed. And that was the first day of the rest of my life.
Wow.
If I can call it that. Yeah. Truly, truly, truly. And then that year in 2018, I signed up for a bunch of races because I was like, I'm a runner now. I'm going to sign up for races. And, you know, that was 2018. And what's funny is, so that childhood kind of trauma of, you know, wanting to be something I'm not or whatever. So I'll tell you a little secret. When I started my Instagram account, I started it because I really, really needed a outlet. Like I had so much to say. Yeah. And I needed an outlet, but I didn't want anybody to know about it. So I originally named my Instagram account Elegantly Filled because I had a cousin who used to call me Elegantly Filled.
Ugh.
Right? And this is how this country where I'm from, you know, it's so funny how they only look at exterior looks, right? And so every time I'd visit or every time I'd go and see my aunt, there was my cousin. And he's like, hey, Sandra, Elegantly Filled. How are you doing, my cousin? Oh, yeah. My whole life. And so I
did. And then you put that badge upon yourself.
Yes.
Wow. I'm so proud of you for shedding it.
Yes, I did. I did. And
do you find that in Croatia is where your family is? Do you find it to be much different in Canada as far as those societal standards of beauty and thinness?
Oh, absolutely.
I'd be curious.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. So I was born in Croatia. I came to Canada when I was 6. And then I left again when I was 19 and stayed for 12 years. So when I came back to Canada, I was like 32 or something. And, you know, we had 3 kids, 1 on the way, and we've been here now 10 years. So Croatia is right next to Italy, right? And so the Croatian mentality is like with many, many European countries, they're very geared towards outside looks. So even when you would go to the market, the outdoor market to buy fresh vegetables, you were all dolled up.
Wow.
Like that's just what they know. They don't know any better because they've never had it any different. And so when we came back to Canada, it was like, you just breathe a sigh of relief. Because in our culture here in Canada and United States, we're not like that. It has absolutely nothing to do, you know, in most cases, with what you look like, unless you're on the freaking cover of Vogue. Right. And then and even that's changing now.
Yeah. I mean, I still feel when I go out in public occasionally looks because of my size here. I think the older I've gotten and the fatter I've gotten, the less I care too. But I grew up in Southern California and I definitely felt extreme pressure to fit into a mold. I knew I never would. But with that said, you know, I mean, my mom always prided herself on her looks and would always like wear lipstick and stuff before she would go into a grocery store. But she never like had to get dolled up to the nines to do that. But, you know, that was something to my mom's comfort level. But I still feel a lot of societal pressure here and fat shaming in the States for sure. I wonder how different it is and where you're at. And I know provinces are areas of, you know, your country are all so different as well. And I don't want to ever classify someone, but you know, you are plus size, but you're what we call in the fat positive world, you're a smaller fat too. So you don't walk through the world as someone who exists in someone my size as well.
Right.
It's also nuanced, I think. But I also can't imagine living somewhere where there is that much pressure to always be this idea of perfection that is truly unobtainable.
It is like trying to squeeze a square peg into a circle. That's
Yeah.
what I can gather from it, and that's how I can summarize it for you. And I can't even imagine for my mom when she was a child what it was like. And
Right.
unfortunately, it passes on. And I know my other cousins who still live back there in Croatia, that's all they cared about.
What was it like raising your daughter there during those really early years and trying not to place what your mother had, unknowingly also placed on you?
You know, it's funny that you asked that, Jen, and it's so strange that in my family here with my children, I have never ever mentioned size, ever.
Nice.
And I do not
Nice.
talk about my husband is quite a large man. Like he's, I don't know, like 350 pounds or something. And all of our children are quite small. I don't know how that happened. So it's so funny how ironic this is, okay? So my daughter is very, very thin. I don't know why, but my dad is very thin. My mom's sisters and their side of the family are like, I would say normal, but my dad is an extremely thin man. He just always has been thin. And the cousin that my mom used to compare me to, she is very thin. And my daughter, I think, took on that side of the family.
Genetics, right?
Yes, there's something to it. And so my sons, it's kind of funny. They're tall and they're just normal. And we just don't talk about it. Like it's something that we don't even, it has never, ever crossed our conversation, our dinner
I
table,
love that.
nothing. Like it's not even like a conversational topic because it doesn't even deserve any merit.
No, that's awesome.
Right?
And that's the advice that a lot of people give when we talk about like how to raise body positive kids. Don't make a big deal out of bodies. Some bodies are small, some bodies are big, but we don't need to like focus on bodies. There are so many other things that we can focus on. But sometimes I still struggle with that as well as someone who does this work and lives in this world. So I think it's really admirable that bodies just haven't been a topic, not a big deal. Everyone has a body and that's cool. So I think that's great, especially considering all that you faced when you were being raised, especially where you were too, in an area where it was so focused, hyper-focused on bodies and perfection.
Yeah, it is kind of ironic how when we came back to Canada, the kids were 6 years old and 4 years old and two. And then the fourth one was obviously born here. So we did come back at the perfect time where
Yeah.
they didn't have that influence just yet or even close to it. So, they were raised here in Canada and, you walk around in your jogging pants and you just wear like your sweats and your sweatshirt and everything's cool. Like that's just how we roll here. And in
You
Canada,
know,
it's,
y'all
yeah.
keep selling Canada to me continuously. You've got, this great maternity leave. Now you
Yes.
just can hang out in sweats. I need to come up north.
You have a sponsor. You have a
I
sponsor for life.
You're all so nice too. No, it's great. But
No, seriously, did you see that meme that was going around when and it was just before the election where it said like
yes.
find
Where's
your
my
Canadian
sponsor?
sponsor?
Now
Yes. You sure
I
do. Forever and ever.
have one.
Oh
I
my
mean, I've
gosh.
always kind of had the hots for your prime minister too, but
Oh.
I digress. I digress.
Yes. No.
I think it's great that you adapted that, but you also said that you focused on physical activity for weight loss. When did that shift occur when it went from weight loss to just the joy of movement and a clear passion for movement as well?
So, that's a great question. And in some ways, it's a little bit of a sad story too, in the sense that it does end with a good ending. But in those days where I was focusing on exercise and wanting to make sure to get my workout in and make sure to do it 3 or 4 times a week, and then if I didn't hit the 3 or 4 times a week, I was worthless and I was not good, right? And so in 2018, when I started that run journey, That was kind of when things shifted for sure. And then for whatever reason, I had, so when I started my Instagram account in 2018, I ended up finally changing the name to fit who I was. And that's how Big Fit Mom of Four was created. And,
love it.
Yeah. And started finding my people. Like these people started coming, like I'm sure like you felt with your community, they started coming into my life and reaffirming all these thoughts and these, just they were, you know, when you find your people, and that's kind of what started happening. So I had heard and I had read and seen in the Instagram community, especially with the running community, that there was something called a streak. And I was like, oh, what's a streak? So a streak is something. So I changed it so that it suits me. But the technical definition of a run streak is you run 1 mile every day. And I was like, I'm not doing that. So I'm going to make my own rules. And I don't care what Runner's World thinks of it. So I call it my streak. And so when you finally realize in your 40s that you have character flaws and it's okay to have character flaws, then
absolutely
right. Then you finally find peace. And I realized that my character flaws, some of them, one of them is that I can't stick to a plan if my life depended on it. Yeah.
I feel that a little bit. I do. I work on it all the time, but I'm all or nothing. But I feel that for sure.
Me too. I'm all or nothing. Like if I went and found a personal trainer, I would pay for him and never use him. If he sent me a freaking training plan, I would look at it and be like, and then put it away. So I knew for myself that nothing else worked unless I did it every single day. And that's how the 5 kilometer a day streak was born. I knew that I had to do something that made me do it every day.
Are you plus size and pregnant or trying to conceive? Do you wonder where you can find cute plus size maternity clothes or when you'll start showing and how to embrace your pregnant body? What about having a healthy pregnancy and how to reduce your increased risk? Find the answers to these questions and so much more within the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. From nutrition and physical activity to prenatal care expectations and the importance of hiring a size-friendly care provider, you'll not only learn information to help you make informed decisions throughout your pregnancy, but start to develop a new relationship with your body. Download this guide and start using it at any point in your pregnancy. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Use code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. For our U.S. listeners or other areas of the world, 5 kilometers is 3.1 miles. So it's just over 3 miles.
You got it. The 3 mile streak. You can, yes, you can. It's 3 miles, 5 kilometers. And so 2019,
which is a lot, by the way. Sorry, yeah. I just have to say that. That's, I mean, a 1 mile, like I'm thinking, wow, 1 mile a day, like that, that's good. Let's do a little bit, like 5K a day. Like, I feel good when I can do a 5K and then I'm like, okay, slow day the next day. Like, I think that is so ambitious that you were like, I'm going to do this.
I honestly, there was like, I can't even tell you why. There was no thought process behind it. It was like on January 1st, right? New Year's Day. I was like, me and my friend were like, let's go for a run. I was like, okay. So we went for a run. And then I'm like, January 2nd came along and I'm like, huh, I might as well go for another run. And then January 3rd came along and I'm like, well, today I'll walk, but I'll do 5K. And that's kind of how it started. And then, so here's what I think changed. And what happened was as the days started going by, the voices in my head started perking up and they started saying, why are you doing this? What are you trying to prove? Who do you think you are? And I was fighting with these voices that were trying, then, Jen, they were trying to push me back down. And I know, because when I look back at my Instagram, there, when I search down and go and scroll down, the days where I had the most difficult days of whether or not I was going to break this streak that in my mind, nobody cared in the sense of like, I wasn't doing this for anybody. It was for me, but yeah. I felt like the world was watching. And nobody was watching, but it was me. It was the voices in my head. And so 1 month goes by, 2 months goes by, 3 months goes by, 6 months goes by. And the voices are like, who do you think you are? You're just gonna fail at this too. And you're just gonna quit at this too. Like you've quit at everything else. And I didn't. And then I found, so as I was going through this journey, 1 year passes, I find a book. Okay. I was listening to podcasts. I was listening to audiobooks. I listened to David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. Then I found a book called The Body Keeps Score. This is why I feel so strongly about this. And this was... Because this was so unintentional, this was so unplanned, this was in the book, The Body Keeps Score. The guy, the doctor, the psychiatrist in the book, Dr. Van Bessel, says that there's three ways to erase trauma. Like, I know I've had trauma in my life. It is what it is. It's water under the bridge. But, you know, my parents didn't know any better. They had grade 5 educations and they just did what their parents did to them, right? So
yeah.
Without getting into too much detail.
We all have trauma. We exactly. all have trauma, right?
Yes.
Every single person has trauma. If you're human, if you have lived a life, you cannot escape trauma. So yeah. And we all cope in different ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's acknowledge that. And some of us will acknowledge it and some of us will pay homage to it. And some of us will not, you know what I mean? It depends on the path that you're kind of walking in life here. So the three ways that he says to fix trauma or to kind of resolve the trauma that you've had is one, with medication, which I am on, two, with counseling and therapy, which I have done. And this was the kicker. This third one was, this was just mind blowing. So what you have to do is you have to repeat something over and over that your body will experience that contradicts the helplessness that you felt. And when I read that, I was like, what?
So yeah.
You take actions or you do something that contradict the helplessness your body felt.
Running is empowering.
Yes. The it wasn't even the running, Jen. It was the completion of the 5 kilometers every day. Whatever it was, even if it was 2 kilometers, if it was 3, it was the completion of the act that restored my self-worth. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I when I read that, and I'm getting goosebumps again, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this was meant to happen. I was meant to go on this journey. And never in a million years, if you had told me when I was 43 that I would have done this and be doing this at 46, I can't tell you how helpless there were some days that I felt, that I wanted to, where I questioned why I was here, where I questioned whether or not it would be better if I was just not here. where I questioned, I should just drive off this cliff that's near our house. And that's, you know, that was the, where I started from. And you can't, people don't understand that something as simple as, and I mean, I don't mean to simplify it. It's not simple. It was hard because the voices in your brain are so strong. They are.
They sure are.
They are so, they're like chains. Oh my God. They're like chains. But you know, it's so interesting how when I really feel, when I think back, I know those chains are breakable.
Yeah.
They
are. And you're capable of breaking them yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it at the time. I didn't believe, because there was nothing that I had done previously. If you had asked me, do I believe that I'm strong enough to do that? I would have said no, because I felt like everything I had done was a failure, like was not worthy. You know, I mean, there's nothing special. Like, I don't mean to say that there's nothing special in my life. I'm a normal person. I have a job. I have kids. I have a house. You know what I mean? Like in the sense of, I just go about my business day to day. And I carried these burdens about myself.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm sure everybody feels that way, but.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Right. Everybody kind of feels that way. But if you had asked me, can you get rid of those burdens? I would have said, no, it's just something I have to live with my whole life. And knowing now what I know, you can. It's not that you'll ever get rid of them. They will become lighter. They will become insignificant. They will become less bearing. It's possible.
So powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and so, I've just talked and talked and talked. I haven't even let you talk.
No, I love it. It's so powerful. I mean, it's an honor to hear your story and what brought you to doing 5K a day. How do you persist on the days when your kids are sick, you're in a bickerment with your partner, the pipes burst? Like, how do you go on every single day? And I know why. I understand your why, but what is the how?
Jen, I just don't give myself an option. It is something I have to do. So it's funny you mentioned pipes burst, because we had a flood last year.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes.
I've been there. It's awful.
Yes. Yeah. We had a flood last year, and it was on the night of my daughter's graduation.
Oh no. Oh, so, okay. Prime example. How did you do your 5K that day?
I thankfully I had done it in the morning. And then I had to do it the next day. In 2020. Yes, in 2020, before the pandemic started, I had a really bad fever. I got sick. And it was funny because it was in between Christmas and New Year's Day. And all of a sudden, it was Boxing Day, and I had family over, and my brother came up with his family from Vancouver, and they were staying with us for a few days. And we come back from Boxing Day shopping, and I hadn't done the 5K yet. It was the strangest thing. It was like didn't have any warning signs. I just broke into a fever and got sick. But you know what? I had to go. I went down on my treadmill. I walked the slowest walk I could possibly imagine. And I had to get it done, because I was not going to break that streak.
Yeah.
And honestly, it is like my lifeline.
Yeah.
It is like the blood pumping through my veins. That's what it's become for me now. I will choose it over mostly anything. Obviously not my kids. Husband is questionable.
But let's normalize it, right? Because for me, when I started walking, you know, 5K was like an hour and a half. And now I can do a 5K in an hour and 10 minutes and I'm still very slow. So how long does it take for you if you're like, okay, I got to get this done. I got a busy day.
Okay. So if I want to do a walk, it takes me, if I walk super, super fast and like I'm focused, it'll take me 50 minutes. It'll be 50 minutes. If I'm kind of walking, you know, like in a nice pace, breathing normally, it'll be like 55 minutes, sometimes an hour. So on the days where I need to get something done really fast, I'll run. And if I'm sore from something, then, you know, what ends up happening is I probably do 3 walks a week and 4 days of running.
And then how long does it take you to run a 5K?
It takes me anywhere from 35 minutes to 40 minutes.
Right. So if we're looking at it, you're saying I, Sandra, permit myself on average, one hour a day. That is not that much to ask. No. I mean, really, when we look at life and whether, and not everyone wants to run or walk or do 5Ks, but whatever it is. And I know when our kids are really little, it feels next to impossible, and it is so much harder. Anyone who is pregnant or have babies, listen to Sandra and I when we say it gets better. It gets harder in some ways, but you get your body back and you get your sense of self back in many ways. But to be able to carve out an hour for yourself a day when your kids are self-sufficient and you don't have to wipe a butt, you know, you can do that. And most of us can. Some people work 3 jobs, and I respect the hell out of you if that's your journey. But you're not saying I'm doing, you know, 4 hours a day, I'm committing to this and there's no way I'm stopping. That could maybe be, you know, to each their own, but that could be maybe asking a lot, and that, you know, someday you might not make it. And what would that feel like? And how do you process through that? But 1 hour a day really isn't that much. We should all be carving out as much as possible an hour a day for ourselves.
I love that you broke it down like that. And yes, when you say the words 5K a day, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, you like sign up, you get a medal after that, right? It was my feelings when I started walking, like, and then I realized, oh wait, it's actually like 3 miles. It is a lot. And I didn't do it the first week, but I think I did it like 2 weeks in. You can gear up to it pretty quickly. I mean, it definitely took me, a while, but it's completely obtainable, and it's completely obtainable for people who are able to move their bodies or want to move their bodies, but there's no size limit as long as you're able to be mobile comfortably and all of that, you know, stuff that, you know, I don't want to be ableist at all. If you want to move your body and you can move your body, like I am a very large person and I'm able to do it just over an hour, and it feels really, really good.
Exactly. Like you're doing what works for you, right? And it's funny. Yeah. I haven't met her actually. She's my virtual friend. I have so many virtual besties. It's not even funny. I love her. Her name is Dina, and she's in Toronto. So Toronto was locked down during this pandemic. Do you know what she did? She walked in with her Fitbit around her condo to get her 5K in.
That's awesome. That's dedication.
Right? And then she went down into the garage of the building and she would walk through the parking lots, the parked cars to get it in. So it's whether or not you decide you want to do cartwheels for 20 minutes or you want.
Okay, Sandra, you just lost me. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I'm like, I mean, when was the last time I could do a cartwheel? No, I'm teasing. But you whatever it is that you want to do. Yes.
Whatever it is, this is the great thing about doing anything. Like you said, when we broke it down to normalize it, it's an hour. But you don't even need an hour. You can do 15 minutes for 1 whole year if you want, or you can do, you know what I mean? You can start off with 15 minutes. For me, I'm on year 3 And
it's amazing.
Like year three now looks so different for me than year one did. I've added,
oh, I bet.
And this is the other thing I wanted to say before I had forgotten, was the science of our brain, Jen, is so fascinating. If you ever have a chance to listen to Rich Roll's podcast with the Huberman Lab, I strongly urge you to listen to that.
I'll put it in the show notes for people who want to tap Perfect. Into it over okay. on plusmommy.com.
Huberman Lab is, his name is Dr. Huberman, and he's a neurologist, scientist, professor, etc. He studies neuroplasticity and the brain. When I heard this, I my jaw dropped. So I thought, and this was how I was raised again my whole life, was that because I had no willpower, there was something wrong with me. You have no willpower. You can't stick to anything. There's something wrong with you. You're this, you're that, right? So January 1st, 2021, I got this brilliant idea to add another activity to my body. I thought, okay, there's this kid on Instagram. His name is Bullock Adventures, and he did 20 burpees every day in 2020. So someone mentioned it on Instagram that he's doing 21 burpees every day for 2021. And I'm like, I put up my hand, I'll do that.
So, that's awesome.
Why not? And Jen, when I started January 1st, January 2nd, January 7th rolled around, I'm having an argument with myself downstairs in my basement. I'm literally arguing with myself and telling myself, you're not going to do this. What makes you think you're going to do this? Just because you're doing 5K a day doesn't mean we're going to let you do this. This was the conversation I was having with my brain. It was literally fighting with me. So fast forward a couple of days after that incident in my basement with my brain, I'm listening to the Huberman Lab, and he is talking about how the nervous system controls the brain. What? He said that the studies show that anything that is not automated is rejected by the nervous system, and it communicates that to the brain. So brushing our teeth is automated. We've done it our whole lives, right? Washing our face is automated. Washing our hands is automated. For me,
cartwheel, not automated. Cartwheel, burpees, not automated.
No. And for me, I thought, okay, I've been doing 5K. That's automated now for me. I'm going to throw in another thing. Well, you're not. This to me was like sliced bread, groundbreaking, like water coming out of a desert. I just couldn't believe this discovery that in fact, I was not, there wasn't anything wrong with me. There was nothing wrong with me. It was just a matter of my nervous system getting used to something and allowing my body to go through that act itself and let it become automated. And I'll tell you something else. In January, I started making my bed. I've never made my bed in my life, unless like a guest was coming over. I've been making my bed every day. I've been journaling every day, like writing nice shit about myself in my journal.
I love it.
It was all because of this one habit that I started to form and then let myself understand how, you know, how the brain is connected to our nervous system, and understanding that when it wants to say no, I just have to kind of get over that bump.
How long does it feel to you that it takes to get over that bump? And I can imagine it's different for everyone, but it sounds like it's been a journey. But how long before it started to feel more automated?
Good question. Very good question. So I truly feel that it took me, I think I needed 1 year. You know what I mean? I think I needed like an anniversary, a kind of like 365 days, bam, here's your medal, you've done it. But if I had, and here's what's really, really important for anybody who's listening and who tries something but then gives up. I honestly do not feel that it takes 21 days and that if it doesn't work in 21 days, it's not meant to be. It takes longer than 21 days. Yeah. I truly feel that you have to give yourself all four seasons of something in order for it to become automatic, right? There's a difference between, like, I'm going to start a habit of swimming because I want to do a triathlon, which is in 6 months. And then I don't have to worry about it, right? Whereas I'm going to start swimming every day because swimming is part of my life. So there's a difference there in the kind of habits that we want to form. Or else, like, I want to start speaking Spanish because I'm going to Spain in 2023.
Yeah.
So that's timely. You have to decide, is this going to be a timely thing or is this going to be a forever thing?
And I also think that timely can become forever. Like, I think of when I started my goal on January 1st of walking 800 miles in 2021. To me, it was like a finite, like, okay, I want to hit this goal. But now that I've found such joy in movement and how much it has just so improved my mental health and giving myself an hour to blast whatever music I want without mm-hmm. my kid telling me to put on his song or when are we going to trade? Like, it's just me, myself, and I love it. Like, I don't want to stop when I hit 800. And maybe for me, goals are helpful. And maybe I'll set another number goal, yeah. but with the underlining message that I just want walking to be a daily part of my life with occasionally taking a day off or two and resting, but finding that rhythm for myself. I think that it's interesting to look at those differences and know that it can shift around a little bit, but the point is that it is something that you're adapting to your daily life, not just for a finite, like a short amount of time.
That's right. Yeah, and exactly. You used the 800 to catapult you, right, into this.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody else might use 20 minutes a day as their catapult or their springboard. You know what I mean? So whatever it is that looks different for all of us, how we get there doesn't matter. It's how we end up here and or how we stay here or how we prolong it. That's what matters, right? Like what we yeah. use as our springboard and what it looks like to each of us. Let that be whatever you want it to be, whatever suits your purpose at the time to bring you to that journey of movement, whatever it looks like for you. There is no rules to this game. At all.
Yeah.
No one's judging.
Yeah.
No one's saying, no, we're our worst critics.
Absolutely.
We are our absolute worst critics. And yet we have such amazing cheerleaders who worship us. You know what I mean? Who are cheering yeah. us on.
Yeah. Yeah. So how are those burpees going now?
They're honestly... So I did stick with them and I'm still sticking with them. I'm going to do them for the whole year and they are like, I think, oh, I feel amazing in the sense of, yeah, like it's a little bit annoying. <'cause I'm>
like, oh. It's the bouncing. It's a lot of bouncing.
Well, hey, if you look at my video that I posted, I do not do any bouncing, my friend. I stand, I step down, I lower myself, I push myself back up, and then I stand up. There is no bouncing going on here because...
Well, I love it. You're augmenting it for your body and your abilities, right. Which is critically important. And that's something that's a whole nother rant that we could go on, is like, you need to do things safely. You need to gear up. You didn't just, you know, start running a 5K a day out of nothing. You, yes, you walked for months before you started running. And that's so important, because it, you've made it sustainable by making it, by gearing up and by training your body. And you're doing burpees in a, you know, augmented way from the beginning. And heck, by the end of the year, I'm excited to see your video of you doing the bounces and the claps in between and all the things, because your body will only continue to get stronger.
And that's the thing. That's that beautiful, message in all of this, is that you can moderate anything to suit yourself. If somebody looks at my video and says, that's not a real burpee, I'm going to be like, and who says I was going to do a real burpee the way you said I was going to do a burpee? It's me doing it. I can do whatever I want. I can call it a butterfly burpee if I want. Yes. I just invented butterfly burpees. Like, we are free to modify, to reinvent the wheel that suits us, because it suits us. And no one is paying my bills. No one is in charge of my body except me. No one is putting out my content on Instagram except me. And so I will do what serves me. And if that helps other people, then that is, I have fulfilled my destiny.
Well, that was a perfect segue, Sandra, to where can people find you on Instagram? Because I have so enjoyed our time together. I have so many takeaways, too, in the, you know, I do feel like as I walk and as I journey, like I am sorting through things in my head, too, and my past and, you know, becoming not only stronger physically, but mentally as well. And it's been such a journey, and forming that habit of moving my body with love and doing it because it feels good, not because I have to, not because I want to punish my body, but because I am enjoying this. So it has been also such a joy to watch you. And I find it so inspiring that you do this every single day. So where can people find you on Instagram?
Oh, you know where they can find me. No, I'm just kidding. They can find me at BigFitMama4_runs. And, you know, just like you said, Jen, when I see your videos of your walks and the beautiful photos that you take, I know that the sun is shining on your face and it is cleansing your face. It is doing you so much justice, in the sense of it is bringing you peace and harmony. And it is. You know what I mean? It is. And if nothing else, that is why we should just, you know, keep showing up, keep putting our face in the sun, because we deserve to be loved by the sun and the outside and the beautiful scenery. We deserve that.
We absolutely do. And maybe there's a busy mom listening who has newborn twins and is like, all right, this sounds all well and good and all, but maybe you just stand outside and you start by giving yourself 15 seconds. Yes. And maybe that progresses to 15 minutes. Yes. And then maybe one day when the kids are a little bit older, you know, you can put them in a stroller and go with them and walk for, you know, 50 minutes a day. Like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be an hour. It can literally be 15 seconds. But find that one thing that brings you joy a day. Like Sandra talked about earlier, making her bed. It doesn't even have to be a physical activity, but I specifically wanted to hear about your journey with your physical activity because of how much joy being physically active has brought to me as a plus size person. And as someone who exists in a larger body, there are extra obstacles to even just getting going, and emotional obstacles once you start. So I love the motivation behind your why, and that you're doing this for you, and how much it has become ingrained upon you and healing And I can only imagine the example that that's also setting, not only for all of your, you know, great followers on Instagram, but for your children. And that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's one of the main things that, you know, I hope that my kids will one day remember me for and will be their takeaway. You know, if nothing else, they will know that what mom did to fight the stress, to fight the life's challenges was that she, you know, took whatever, 1 hour or 50 minutes or whatever it was to herself, and she moved. She moved.
Yes.
Yeah.
She moved. I love it. So be sure to follow Sandra over at Big Fit Mom of Four, and it's the number four, then underscore runs. And then Sandra, you have a blog too. So let us know the website of that as well.
I do. It's my blog where I just blurt out all my thoughts, and it is in my Instagram profile. It is the same as my name. So it's www.bigfitmomof4-runs.com. So that is where you will find all my thoughts.
Well, I sure enjoy not only for the inspiration, but there's a lot of comic relief too that is absolutely so enjoyable. So you keep doing this and keep sharing it. And I'm so glad you changed that handle. And I'm so glad that you continue to shake off those labels that have been placed upon all of us. I think so many of us can relate to your whole journey. So keep doing your thing, Sandra. I'm so in awe of it. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I truly appreciate it. And just keep being you. Thank you so much for honestly this platform that you've given, you know, plus size women voices and plus size moms. Like, what a difference that makes to people's lives. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That means so much. Thank you, truly. All right, my friends. Aww. Until next time. Goodbye.
Yes. Thank you. Bye, Jen.